an unguarded way into ONI Section 3 files. Cortana listened to the hum of coded traffic along the surface of ONI's secure network. There was an unusual amount of packets today, queries and encrypted messages from ONI operatives. She peered into them and unraveled their secrets as they passed her. There were orders for ship movements and operatives outbound from Reach. This must be the new directive to send scouts into the periphery systems and find the Covenant. She saw several ships docked in Reach's space docks. ONI stealth jobs made to look like private yachts. They had cute, innocuous names, the Appleby, Circumference, and the Lark. She spotted something she could use. Dr. Halsey had just entered her laboratory. She was at checkpoint 3. The doctor waited as her voice and retina patterns were being scanned. Cortana intercepted and killed the signal. The verification system reset. "Please rescan retina, Dr. Halsey," the system requested, "and repeat today's code phrase in a normal voice." Before Dr. Halsey could do this, Cortana sent her own files of Dr. Halsey's retina and voice scans. She had long ago copied them, and occasionally they came in handy. Section 3 verification opened for Cortana. She had only a second before the doctor spoke and overrode the previous entry access. Cortana, however, was a lightning strike in the system. She entered, searched, and found what she wanted. Every piece of data on Spartan 117 was copied to her personal directory within 70 milliseconds. She withdrew from the ONI database, routing all traces of her queries back to her Ackerson, Ghost. She closed all connections and returned to the Pillar of Autumn. One quick check of the reactor. Yes, operating within normal parameters. And she sent a complete report to Lieutenant Hall on the bridge. Cortana examined the Master Chief's complete CSV. She scanned backward through time, his performance data on the obstacle course, and the debriefing he had given at ONI headquarters. She paused and pondered the signal the Covenant had sent from Sigma Octanus IV. Intrigued, she tried to translate the sequence. The symbols looked tantalizingly familiar. Every algorithm and variation of the standard translation software she attempted, however, failed. Puzzled, she set it aside to examine later. She continued, absorbing the data from the Master Chief's files. She learned of the augmentations he and the other Spartans were made to endure, the brutal indoctrination and training they had received, and how he had been abducted at the age of 6, and a flash clone used to replace him in an ONI black op. All of it had been authorized by Dr. Halsey. Cortana paused for a full 3 processor cycles, churning this new data through her ethics subroutines, not comprehending. How could Dr. Halsey, who was so concerned for her Spartans, have done this to them? Of course, because it was necessary. There was no other way to preserve the UNSC against rebellion and Covenant forces. Was Dr. Halsey a monster, or just doing what had to be done to protect humanity? Perhaps a little of both. Cortana erased her stolen files. No matter. Whatever the Master Chief had been through in the past, it was done. He was in Cortana's care now. She would do everything in her power, short of compromising their mission, to make sure nothing ever happened to him again. Chapter 29. 0400 hours. August 30, 2542, military calendar. UNSC Pillar of Autumn, in orbit around Epsilon Eridani system. Reach military complex. Captain Keyes tapped the thrusters of the shuttle pod Coda. The tiny craft rolled, and the Pillar of Autumn came into view. Normally, captains did not ferry themselves around the space docks of Reach, but Keyes had insisted. All unauthorized personnel were restricted to a narrow flight path around the Pillar of Autumn, and he wanted to take a careful look around the outside of the ship before he took command. From this distance, the Pillar of Autumn could have been mistaken for an elongated frigate. As the shuttle pod moved closer, however, details appeared that betrayed the ship's age. The pillar of Autumn's hull had several larger dents and scratches. Her engine baffles were blackened. The portside emergency thrusters were missing. What had he gotten himself into by signing up for Dr. Halsey's mission? He moved within 100 meters and circled to the starboard. The shuttle bay on this side was sealed off. Red and yellow hazard warnings had been painted on metal plates that had been hastily welded over her entrance. He closed to 10 meters and saw the plate was not a solid sheet of metal. He could see armored ports, heavily reinforced, almost solid titanium A. Honeycombed throughout this section were the round covers of Archer missile pods. Captain Keyes counted. 30 pods across, 10 down. Each pod held dozens of missiles. The Pillar of Autumn had a secret arsenal to rival any real cruiser in the fleet. Captain Keyes drifted toward the stern and noticed concealed and recessed 50-millimeter autocannons for defense against single ships. Underneath were bumps, part of the linear accelerator system for the ship's lone Mac gun. It looked too small to be truly effective, but he would reserve judgment. Perhaps, like the rest of the Pillar of Autumn, the weapon was more than it appeared to be. He certainly hoped so. Captain Keyes returned to the port side and drifted gently into the shuttle bay. He took note of 3 Longsword single ships and 3 Pelican dropships in the bay. One of the Pelicans had double the normal armor plating and what looked like grappling attachments. A serrated titanium ram decorated the dropship's prow. He touched down on an automated landing platform and locked the controls down. A moment later, the shuttle descended below decks and was cycled through the airlock. Captain Keyes gathered his duffel bag and stepped onto the flight deck. Lieutenant Hikawa was there to meet him. She saluted.
"Welcome aboard, Captain Keyes."
He saluted.
"What do you think of her, Lieutenant?"
Lieutenant Hikawa's dark eyes widened.
"You're not going to believe this ship, sir."
Her normally serious face broke with a smile.
"They've turned it into something special."
"I saw what they did to my starboard shuttle bay," Captain Keyes remarked sourly.
"That's just the start," she said. "I can give you a full tour."
"Please," Captain Keyes said.
He paused at an intercom.
"Just one thing first, Lieutenant."
He keyed the intercom.
"Ensign Lovell, plot a course to the system's edge and move the Pillar of Autumn on an accelerating vector. We will jump to slipstream space as soon as we get there."
"Sir," Lovell replied, "our engines are still in shakedown mode."
"Cortana," Captain Keyes asked, "can we have power to move this ship? I'd like to get underway."
"The engine's final shakedown is in theta cycle," Cortana replied, "operating well within normal parameters. Diverting 30% power to engines. Aye, sir."
"And the other system status?" Captain Keyes asked.
"Weapon system check initiated. Navigational nodes functioning. Continuing system-wide shakedown and triple checks, Captain."
"Very good," he said. "Apprise me if there are any anomalies."
"Aye, Captain,"
she replied.
"We finally have an AI," he remarked to Hikawa.
"We've got more than that, sir," Hikawa replied. "Cortana is running the shakedown and supervising Dr. Halsey's modifications to the ship. We have a backup AI to handle point defense."
"Really?"
Keyes was surprised. Getting a single AI was tough enough these days. Getting 2 was unprecedented.
"Yes, sir. I'll see to the initialization of our AI as soon as Cortana is through running her diagnostics."
Captain Keyes had met Cortana briefly in Dr. Halsey's office. Although every AI he had met was brilliant, Cortana seemed exceptionally qualified. Captain Keyes had posed several navigation problems, and she had figured out all the solutions, and had come up with a few options he had not considered. She was somewhat high-spirited, but that was not necessarily a bad thing. Lieutenant Hikawa led him into the elevator and punched the button for D-Deck.
"At first," Hikawa said, "I was concerned with all the ordnance on board. One penetrating shot, and we could explode like a string of firecrackers. But this ship doesn't have much empty space. It's full of braces, honeycombed titanium A, and hydraulic reinforcements that can be activated in an emergency. She can take a tremendous beating, sir.
Let's hope we don't have to test that, Captain Keyes said. He checked that his pipe was in his pocket.
Yes, sir.
Their elevator passed through the rotating section of the ship, and Captain Keyes felt his weight ease and a flutter of vertigo. He grabbed hold of the rails. The doors opened, and they entered the cavernous engine room. The ceiling was 4 stories high, making this the largest compartment in the ship. Catwalks and platforms ringed the hexagonal chamber.
"Here's the new reactor, sir,"
Hikawa said. The device perched within a lattice of non-ferric ceramic and leaded crystal. The main reactor ring was nestled in the center of what appeared to be 2 smaller reactor rings. Technicians floated nearby, taking readings and monitoring the output displays on the walls.
"I'm not familiar with this design, Lieutenant."
"The latest reactor technology. The Pillar of Autumn is the first ship to get it. The 2 smaller fusion reactors come online to supercharge the main reactor. Their overlapping magnetic fields can temporarily boost power by 300%.
Captain Keyes whistled appreciatively as he scrutinized the room.
"I don't see any coolant pipes."
"There are none, sir. This reactor uses a laser-induced optical slurry of ions, chilled to near absolute zero to neutralize the waste heat. The more we crank up the power, the more juice we have to cool the system. It is very efficient."
The smaller reactors flickered to life, and Captain Keyes felt the ambient heat in the room jump, then suddenly cool again. He removed his pipe and tapped it in the palm of his hand. He would have to rethink his old tactics. This new engine could give him new options in battle.
"There's more, sir."
Lieutenant Hikawa led him back into the lift.
"We have 40 50-millimeter cannons for point defense, with overlapping fields of fire covering all inbound vectors."
"What is our least defended approach vector?"
"Bottom 4, she said, "along the ley line of the MAC system. There are very few gunnery placements there. Transient magnetic bursts tend to magnetize the weapons."
"Tell me about the MAC gun, Lieutenant. It looks underpowered."
"It fires a special light round with a ferrous core but an outer layer of tungsten carbide. The round splinters on impact, like an assault rifle shredder rounds."
She was talking so fast, she had to pause and take a deep breath.
"This gun has magnetic field recyclers along the length that recapture the field energy. Coupled with booster capacitors, we can fire 3 successive shots with 1 charge.
That would be very effective against the Covenant energy shields. The first shot, maybe the first pair of shots, would take down their shields. The last round would deliver a knockout punch.
I take it you approve, Lieutenant.
To quote Ensign Lovell, sir, I think I'm in love."
Captain Keyes nodded.
"I notice we have several single ships and some Pelican dropships in the bay."
"Yes, sir. One of the longswords is equipped with a Shiva nuclear warhead. It can be remote piloted. We also have 3 Havoc warheads on board."
"Of course," Captain Keyes said. "And the Pelicans? One of them had extra armor."
"The Spartans were working on it. Some sort of boarding craft."
"The Spartans?" Captain Keyes asked. "They're already on board?"
"Yes, sir. They were here before we got on board."
"Take me to them, Lieutenant."
"Yes, sir."
Lieutenant Hikawa stopped the elevator and hit the button for C-Deck. 25 years ago, Captain Keyes had helped procure the Spartan candidates for Dr. Halsey. She had said they might one day be the best hope the UNSC had for peace. At the time, he'd assumed that the doctor was prone to hyperbole, but it appeared that she'd been correct. That didn't make what they had done right, though. His complicity in those kidnappings still haunted him. The elevator doors opened. The primary storage bay had been converted into barracks for the 30 Spartans. Every one of them wore Mjolnir battle armor. They looked alien to him. Part machine, part Titan, but completely inhuman. The room was filled with motion. Spartans unpacked crates, others cleaned and field-stripped their assault rifles, and a pair of them practiced hand-to-hand combat. Captain Keyes could barely follow their motions.
They were so fast, no hesitation. Strike and block and counterstrike. Their movements were a continuous stream of rapid-fire blurs. Captain Keyes had seen the news feeds and heard the rumors, like everyone in the fleet. The Spartans were near mythological figures in the military. They were supposed to be superhuman soldiers, invulnerable and indestructible, and it was almost the truth. Dr. Halsey had shown him their operational records. Between the Spartans and the refitted Pillar of Autumn, Captain Keyes was beginning to believe Dr. Halsey's long-shot mission might work after all.
"Captain on the deck!" one of the Spartans shouted.
Every Spartan stopped and snapped to attention.
"As you were," he said.
The Spartans relaxed slightly. One turned and strode toward him.
"Master Chief Spartan 117 reporting as ordered, sir."
The armored giant paused, and for a moment, Keyes thought the Spartan looked uncomfortable.
"Sir, I regret the unit was not able to ask your permission to come aboard. Admiral Stanforth insisted we keep our presence off the comm channels and computer networks."
Captain Keyes found the reflective faceplates of the Spartans' helmets disconcerting. It was impossible to read their features.
"Quite all right, Master Chief. I just wanted to extend my regards. If you or your men need anything, let me know."
"Yes, sir,"
the Master Chief said. An awkward moment of silence passed. Captain Keyes felt like he didn't belong here, an intruder in a very exclusive club.
"Well, Master Chief, I'll be on the bridge."
"Sir,"
the Master Chief saluted. Captain Keyes returned the salute and left with Lieutenant Hikawa. When the elevator doors closed, Lieutenant Hikawa said,
"Do you think, I mean, with all due respect to the Spartans, sir, don't you think they're strange?"
"Strange? Yes, Lieutenant. You might act a little strange if you'd seen and been through as much as they had."
"Some people say they're not even humans in those suits, that they are just machines."
"They're human," Captain Keyes said.
The elevator doors parted, and Captain Keyes stepped onto his bridge. It was much smaller than he was accustomed to. The command chair was only a meter from the other stations. View screens dominated the room, and a massive, curved window afforded a panoramic view of the stars.
"Status reports," Captain Keyes ordered.
Lieutenant Dominique spoke first.
"Communication systems are green, sir. Monitoring fleet comm reach traffic. No new orders."
Dominique had gotten his hair shorn since he had been on the Iroquois. He also had a new tattoo around his left wrist, the wavy lines of a Bessel function.
"Reactor shakedown 80% complete," Lieutenant Hall reported. "Oxygen, power, rotation, and pressure all green light, sir."
She smiled, but it wasn't like before, an automatic gesture. She seemed genuinely happy. Lieutenant Hikawa took her seat and strapped in. She gathered her black hair and tied it into a knot.
"Weapons panel shows green, sir. Mac gun capacitors at zero charge."
Ensign Lovell finally reported.
"Navigation and sensor systems online, Captain, and all green. Ready for your orders."
Lovell was completely focused on his station. A small hologram of Cortana flickered on the AI pedestal near navigation.
"Engine shakedown running smoothly, Captain," she said. "All personnel on board. You have half power now if you wish to move the ship. Fujikawa Shaw generators online. You can take us into the slipstream at your pleasure."
"Very good," Captain Keyes said.
Keyes surveyed his crew, pleased at how they had sharpened up after Sigma Octanus. Gone were the bleary, haggard expressions and the tentative, nervous mannerisms.
"Good," he thought. "We're going to need everyone at the top of their game now."
The crew had been briefed on their mission. Part of it, anyway. Captain Keyes had insisted. They were told they would be attempting to capture Covenant technology, with an aim to disabling one of the alien ships and bringing it back intact. What the crew didn't know were the stakes.
"Approaching Reach's system edge," Ensign Lovell reported. "Ready to generate a slipstream?"
"Captain!" Lieutenant Dominique cried. "Incoming Alpha Priority transmission from Fleetcom HQ at Reach. Sir, they're under Covenant attack."
Section 5. Reach. Chapter 30. 00 hours. August 29, 2542, military calendar. Narrow band point-to-point transmission. Origin unknown. Termination. Section 3. Omega Secure Antenna Array. UNSC HQ Epsilon Eridani System. Reach Military Complex. PLNB Priority Transmission. XX087R-XX. Encryption Code Gamma. Public Key NA. From Codename Coal Miner. To Codename Surgeon. Subject Progress Report. Operation Hypodermic. Classification, Eyes Only, Top Secret. Section 3, X-ray Directive. File Extraction, Reconstitution Complete. Start File. Secured Space Dock Repair Bay. Corvette Circumference undergoing final stealth upgrades. Shipyard records successfully altered. Queries detected from transient AI. Operation deemed at risk of being uncovered. As per contingency plan Tango, ship registration numbers scrambled. Hard isolated from dockside computer network. Counter-intrusion software implemented. Alpha security protocols enacted on board. Just as you called it, sir. Don't worry. As far as the station computers are concerned, Circumference never even existed. End file. Scramble destruction process enabled. Press Enter to continue. Chapter 31. 0447 hours. August 30, 2542 military calendar. Remote sensing station Fermion. Epsilon Eridani Systems Edge. Chief Petty Officer McRobb entered the command center of remote sensing station Fermion. Lieutenants J.G. Bill Streeter and David Breitling stood and saluted. He wordlessly returned their salutes. The wall-sized monitors displayed the contents of the last slipstream probes, multidimensional charts, a rainbow of false color enhancements, and a catalog of objects adrift in the alternate space. Some of the new officers thought the representations looked pretty. To Chief McRobb, however, each pixel on the screens represented danger. So many things could hide in multidimensional space. Pirates, black marketeers, the Covenant. McRobb inspected their duty stations. He double-checked that all programs and hardware were running within UNSC specifications. He ran his hand along the monitors and keypads, looking for dust. Their stations were in tip-top shape. Considering what they were guarding, reach, anything less than perfection was unacceptable. He made certain his crew knew it, too.
"Carry on," he said.
Since the Battle of Sigma Octanus, Fleetcom had reassigned top people to its remote sensing stations. Chief McRobb had been pulled from Fort York on the edge of the inner colonies. He had spent the last 3 months helping his crew brush up on their abstract and complex algebras to interpret the probe data.
"Ready to send out the next set of probes, sir," Lieutenant Streeter said. "Linear accelerator and slip space generators online and charged.
Set for 30-second return cycle and launch," Chief McRobb ordered.
"Aye, sir. Probes away, sir. Accelerated and entering the slipstream."
Fleetcom didn't really expect anything to attack the Reach military complex. It was the heart of the UNSC military operations. If anything did attack it, the battle would be a short one. There were 20 Super Mac guns in orbit. They could accelerate a 3,000-ton projectile to 0.4-tenths the speed of light, and place that projectile with pinpoint accuracy. If that wasn't enough to stop a Covenant fleet, there were anywhere from 100 to 150 ships in the system at any given time. Chief McRobb knew, though, that there had been another military base that was once thought too strong to attack, and the military had paid the price for their lack of vigilance. He wasn't about to let Reach become another Pearl Harbor, not on his watch.
"Probes returning, sir," Lieutenant Breitling announced. "Alpha re-entering normal space in 3, 2, 1. Scanning sectors. Signal acquired at extraction point minus 45,000 kilometers.
Process the signals and send out the recovery drone, Lieutenant,"
Aye, sir. Getting signal lock on...
The lieutenant squinted at his monitor.
Sir, would you take a look at this?
On the board, Lieutenant.
Radar and neutron imager silhouettes appeared on screen and filled the display. Chief McRobb had never seen anything like it in slipstream space.
Confirm that the data stream is not corrupted, the chief ordered. I'm estimating that object is 3,000 kilometers in diameter. Affirmative. 3,200 kilometer diameter confirmed, sir. Signal integrity is green. We'll have a trajectory for the planetoid as soon as Beta Probe returns.
It was rare for any natural object this large to be in slipstream space. An occasional comet or asteroid had been logged. UNSC astrophysicists still weren't sure how the things got into the alternate dimension. But there had never been anything like this. At least not since...
Oh, my God, McRobb whispered. Not since Sigma Octanus.
We're not waiting for Beta Probe, Chief McRobb barked. We are initiating the cold protocol. Lieutenant Streeter, purge the navigational database, and I mean right now. Lieutenant Breitling, remove the safety interlocks on the station's reactor.
His junior officers hesitated for a moment. Then they understood the gravity of their situation. They moved quickly.
Initiating viral data scavengers, Lieutenant Streeter called out. Dumping main and cache memory.
He turned in his seat, his face white.
Sir! The science library is offline for repairs. It has every UNSC astrophysics journal in it.
With navigation data on every star within 100 light years, the chief whispered, including Sol.
Lieutenant, you get someone down there and destroy that data. I don't care if they have to hit it with a goddamn sledgehammer. Make sure that data is wiped. Aye, sir.
Streeter turned to the comm and began issuing frantic orders.
Safety interlocks red on the board,
Lieutenant Breitling reported. His lips pressed into a single white line, concentrating.
Beta Probe returning, sir, in 4, 3, 2, 1. There. Off target, 120,000 kilometers. Signal is weak. The probe appears to be malfunctioning. Trying to scrub the signal now.
It's too much of a coincidence that it's malfunctioning, Streeter, the chief said.
Get FleetCom on Alpha Channel, on the double. Compress and send the duty log. Aye, sir.
Lieutenant Streeter's fingers fumbled with a keypad as he typed. Then he had to retype the command.
Log sent. Beta Probe signal on the board,
Lieutenant Breitling reported.
Calculating the object's trajectory.
The planetoid was closer. Its edges, however, had abnormalities. Bumps and spikes and protrusions. Chief McRobb shifted and clenched his hands into fists.
It will pass through Reach System, Lieutenant Breitling said. Intersecting the solar plane in 17 seconds at the system's outer edge at 014.
He inhaled sharply.
Sir, that's only a light second away from us.
Lieutenant Streeter stood and knocked over his chair, almost backing into the chief. McRobb righted the chair.
Sit down, Lieutenant. We've got a job to do. Target the telescope array to monitor that region of space.
Lieutenant Streeter turned and gazed into the rock-solid features of the chief. He took a deep breath.
Yes, sir.
He sat back down.
Aye, sir. Moving the array. Gamma probe returning in 3, 2, 1.
Lieutenant Breitling paused.
There's no signal, sir. Scanning? Time plus 4 seconds and counting. Probe may have translated on a temporal axis.
I don't think so, the chief murmured.
Lieutenant Streeter said,
Telescope array now on target, sir. On the main view screen.
Pinpoints of green light appeared at the edge of the Reach solar system. They collected and swarmed as if they were caught in a boiling liquid. Space stretched, smeared, and distorted. Half the stars in that region were blotted out.
Radar contact,
Lieutenant Breitling said.
Contact with more than 300 large objects.
His hands started to shake.
Sir, silhouettes match known Covenant profiles.
They're accelerating, Lieutenant Streeter whispered,
on an intercept course for the station. FleetCom network connections are being infiltrated,
Lieutenant Breitling said. His trembling hands could barely type in commands.
Cutting our connection.
Chief McRobb stood as straight as he could.
What about the astrophysics data?
Sir, they're still trying to end the diagnostic cycle, but that takes a few minutes.
Then we don't have a lot of options, McGraw muttered. He set his hand on Lieutenant Breitling's shoulder to steady the young officer. It's all right, Lieutenant. We've done the best we could. We've done our duty. There's nothing more to worry about. He set his palm print on the control station. The chief locked out the reactor safeties and saturated the fusion chamber with their deuterium reserve tanks. Chief McGraw said, Just one last order to carry out. Chapter 32 0519 hours, August 30, 2542, Military Calendar. UNSC Pillar of Autumn, Epsilon Eridani System's Edge. Something was wrong. John felt it in his stomach first. A slight lateral acceleration that became a spin strong enough that he had to brace his legs. The Pillar of Autumn was turning. Every other Spartan in the storage bay felt it as well. They paused as they unloaded equipment from crates and readied the cryotubes for their journey. The lateral motion slowed and stopped. The Pillar of Autumn's engines rumbled like thunder through the hull of the ship. Kelly approached him.
Sir, I thought we were accelerating to enter slipspace.
So did I. Have Fred and Joshua continue to prep the tubes. Have Linda get a team and secure our gear. I'll find out what's going on.
Aye, sir.
The Master Chief marched toward the intercom panel. He hated being on spaceships. The lack of control was disturbing. He and the other Spartans were just extra cargo in a space battle. He hesitated as he reached for the intercom. If Captain Keyes was involved in some tricky maneuver or engaging an enemy, the last thing he needed was an interruption. He pressed the button.
Cortana, we've changed course. Is there a problem?
Instead of her voice, however, Captain Keyes spoke over the channel.
Captain Keyes to Spartan 117,
he replied.
Here, sir. There's been a change in plans, Keyes said. There was a long pause. This will be easier to explain face to face. I'm on my way down to brief you. Keyes out.
John turned, and the other Spartans snapped to their tasks. Those without specific orders checked and rechecked their weapons and assembled their combat gear. They had all heard the captain, however. The sound receivers in their armor could pick up a whisper at 100 meters. And the Spartans didn't have to be told this was trouble. John clicked on the monitor near the intercom. The 4 cameras showed the Pillar of Autumn had indeed turned about. Reach's sun blazed in the center of the screen. They were heading back. Was something wrong with the ship? No. Captain Keyes wouldn't be coming to brief him if that was the case. There was definitely a snag. The elevator doors opened, and Captain Keyes stepped off the lift.
Captain on the deck!
The Master Chief shouted. The Spartans stood at attention.
At ease,
Captain Keyes said. The expression on the captain's face suggested that ease was the last thing on his mind. He smoothed his thumb over the antique pipe the Master Chief had seen him carry.
There is something very wrong, Keyes said. He glanced at the other Spartans. Let's talk in private, he told the Master Chief in a low voice.
He walked to the monitor over the intercom.
Sir, the Master Chief said. Unless you wish to leave the deck, the Spartans will hear everything we say.
Keyes looked at the Spartans and frowned.
I see.
Very well. Your squad might as well hear this now, too. I don't know how they found Reach. They bypassed 12 inter-colony worlds to get here. It doesn't matter. They are here, and we have to do something.
Sir? They?
The Covenant. He turned to the intercom. Cortana, display the last priority alpha transmission.
A communique flickered on screen, and the Master Chief read, United Nations Space Command Alpha Priority Transmission, 0459R2Zulu, 83. Encryption code, red. Public key, file Bravo Tango Beta 5. From Admiral Roland Fremont, Commanding Fleet Officer, Fleetcom Sector 1 Commander, UNSC service number 00745-16778-HS.
2. All UNSC warships in Reach, Jericho, and Tantalus systems. Subject: immediate recall. Classification: classified. BGX directive. Start file. Covenant presence detected on Reach system's edge. Coordinates 030 relative. All UNSC warships are hereby ordered to cease all activities and regroup at Rally Point Zulu at best speed. All ships are to enact the Cole Protocol immediately. End file.
Cortana has picked up ship signatures on the Pillar of Autumn sensors, Captain Keyes said. She cannot be sure how many because of electrical interference, but there are more than 100 alien ships inbound toward Reach. We have to go. We have our orders. The Section 3 mission has to be scrubbed.
Sir? Scrubbed?
John had never had a mission canceled.
Reach is our strategic headquarters and our biggest shipbuilding facility, Master Chief. If the shipyards fall, then Dr. Halsey's prediction of humanity having only months to survive will shrink to weeks.
The Master Chief normally would never have contradicted a superior officer, but this time duty compelled him.
Sir, our two missions are not mutually exclusive.
Captain Keyes lit his pipe. In defiance of 3 separate regulations of igniting a combustible on a UNSC ship. He puffed once and thoughtfully examined the smoke.
What do you have in mind, Master Chief?
100 alien vessels, sir, between the combined force of the fleet and Reach's orbital gun platforms. It's almost guaranteed there'll be a disabled ship my squad can board and capture.
Captain Keyes mulled this over.
There will also be hundreds of ships exchanging fire with one another. Missiles, nukes, Covenant plasma torpedoes.
Just get us close enough, the Master Chief said. Punch a hole in their shields long enough for us to get on their hull. We'll do the rest.
Captain Keyes chewed on his pipe. He tucked it into the cup of his hand.
There are operational complications with your plan. Cortana has been running the Pillar of Autumn shakedown. We have our own AI, but by the time we get it initialized and running this ship, the battle may be over.
I see, sir.
Captain Keyes gazed a moment at the Master Chief, then sighed.
If there's a disabled Covenant ship, and if we are close enough to it, and if we're not blown to a million bits by the time we get there, then I'll transfer Cortana to you.
I've flown ships without an AI before.
Captain Keyes managed a weak smile, but it quickly disappeared.
Yes, sir. We'll be at Rally Point Zulu in 20 minutes, Master Chief. Have your team ready by then, for anything.
Sir!
He saluted. Captain Keyes returned the salute and entered the elevator, puffing on his pipe and shaking his head. The Master Chief turned to his teammates. They halted what they were doing.
You all heard it. This is it. Fred and James, I want you to refit one of our Pelicans. Get every scrap of C-12 and shape a charge on her nose. If Captain Keyes downs a Covenant shield, we may have to blast our way into the ship's hull.
Fred and James replied.
Aye, sir. Linda, assemble a team and get into every crate O&I packed for us. Distribute that gear ASAP. Make sure everyone gets a thruster pack, plenty of ammo, grenades, and jackhammer launchers if we have them. If we do get on board, we may encounter those armored Covenant types again. This time I want the firepower to take them out.
Yes, sir!
The Spartans scrambled to make ready for the mission. The Master Chief approached Kelly. On a private comm channel, he told her, Crate 13 on the manifest has 3 Havoc nuclear mines. Get them. I have the arming cards. Ready them for transport.
Affirmative. She paused.
The Master Chief couldn't see her face past the reflective shield of her helmet, but he knew her well enough to know that the tiny slump of her shoulders meant that she was worried.
Sir, she said, I know this mission will be tough, but do you ever get the feeling that this is like one of Chief Mendez's missions? Like there's a trick? Some twist that we've overlooked?
Yes, he replied, and I'm waiting for it.
Chapter 33. 0534 hours. August 30, 2542, Military Calendar. UNSC Pillar of Autumn. Epsilon Eridani System.
The Pillar of Autumn detonated its port emergency thrusters. The ship slid out of the path of the asteroid, missing it by 10 meters. The Covenant plasma trailing them did not. It impacted the city-sized rock and sent fountains of molten iron and nickel spewing into space. 9 of the 10 teardrop-shaped Covenant fighters, nicknamed Seraphs by ONI, dodged the asteroid as well. The 10th ship slammed into the asteroid and vanished from the bridge's viewscreen. The other single ships accelerated and swarmed around the Pillar of Autumn, harassing her with pulse laser fire.
Cortana, Captain Key said, activate our point defense system.
The Pillar of Autumn's 50-millimeter cannons flashed, chipping away at the Covenant ship's shields. Already engaged, Captain, Cortana said calmly.
Ensign Lovell, Captain Key said. Engines all stop and bring us about 180 degrees. Lieutenant Hikawa, ready our MAC gun and arm Archer missile pods A1 through A7. I want a firing solution that has our Archer missiles hitting with a third MAC round.
On it, sir,
Lieutenant Hikawa replied.
Aye, sir, Engine Lovell said. Answering engines all stop. Coming about. Brace yourselves.
The Pillar of Autumn's engines sputtered and died. Navigational thrusters fired and rotated the ship to face the real threat, a Covenant carrier. The enormous alien craft had materialized aft of the Pillar of Autumn and launched their single ships. The carrier had then launched 2 salvos of plasma, which Captain Keyes had only shaken by entering the asteroid field. Cortana maneuvered the massive Pillar of Autumn like it was a sporting yacht. She nimbly dodged tumbling rocks, used them to screen Covenant plasma and pulse laser bolts. But the Pillar of Autumn would emerge from the asteroid field in 20 seconds.
Firing solution online, sir, Lieutenant Hikawa said. MAC gun hot and missile safety interlocks removed. Ready to launch.
Fire missiles at will, Lieutenant.
Rapid-fire thumps echoed through the Pillar of Autumn's hull, and a swarm of Archer missiles sped toward the incoming carrier.
MAC gun is hot, Hikawa said. Booster capacitors ready. Firing in 8 seconds, sir.
I must make one small adjustment to your trajectory, Lieutenant, Cortana said. Covenant single ships are concentrating their attacks on our underside. Captain, with your permission?
Granted, Keyes said.
Firing solution recalculated, Cortana said. Hang on. Cortana fired thrusters, and the Pillar of Autumn rotated belly up, brought the majority of her 50-millimeter cannons to bear on the Covenant Seraph fighters underneath her. Overlapping fields of fire wore down their shields, punctured their armored hulls with 1,000 rounds, tore through the pilots with a hail of projectiles, and peppered their reactors. 9 puffs of fire dropped behind the Pillar of Autumn and vanished into the darkness.
Enemy single ships destroyed, Cortana said. Approaching firing position.
Cortana, give me a countdown. Lieutenant Hikawa, fire on my mark,
Captain Key said.
Ready to fire, aye, Lieutenant Hikawa said.
Cortana nodded, her trim figure projected in miniature inside the bridge holotank. As she nodded, a time display appeared, the numbers counting down rapidly. Keyes gripped the edge of the command chair, his eyes glued to the countdown. 3 seconds, 2, 1.
Mark!
Firing!
Hikawa answered. A triple flash of lightning saturated the forward view screen and bled in from the viewport. 3 white-hot projectiles crossed the black distance between the Pillar of Autumn and the Covenant carrier. Along the side of the carrier, motes of light collected as they rebuilt the charges of their plasma weapons. Archer missiles were pinpoints of exhaust in the distance. The carrier's pulse lasers fired and melted 1/3 of the incoming missiles. The Pillar of Autumn rolled to starboard and dove. Captain Keyes floated in freefall for a heartbeat, then landed awkwardly on the deck. The crenellated surface of an asteroid appeared on their port camera, meters away, then vanished. Captain Keyes was grateful that he never had time to initialize the Pillar of Autumn's AI. Cortana performed superbly. The trio of blazing MAC rounds struck the carrier. The shield flashed once, twice. The 3rd round got through, gutting the ship from stem to stern. The carrier spun sideways,
Her shield stuttered once, trying to reestablish a protective screen. 100 Archer missiles struck, cratering the hull, blossoming into fire and sparks and smoldering metal. The alien carrier listed and crashed into the asteroid the Pillar of Autumn had just narrowly avoided. It stuck there, hull broken and cracked. Columns of fire blossomed from the shattered vessel. Captain Keyes sighed. A victory. The Spartans, however, would not be taking that ship into Covenant space. It wasn't going anywhere.
Cortana, mark the location of the destroyed ship and the asteroid. We may have a chance to salvage her later.
Yes, Captain.
Ensign Lovell, Captain Keyes said. Turn us around and give me best speed to Rally Point Zulu.
Lovell tapped the thrusters and rotated the Pillar of Autumn to relative space normal with reach. The rumble of the engine shook the decks as the ship accelerated in system.
ETA 20 minutes at best speed, sir.
The battle for reach could be over by the time he got there. Captain Keyes wished he could move through slipspace for short precision jumps like the Covenant. That carrier had materialized a kilometer behind the Pillar of Autumn. If he had that kind of accuracy, he could be at the rally point now and be of some use. Any attempt to jump in system, however, would be foolish at best. At worst, it would be a fatal move. Jump targets varied by hundreds of thousands of kilometers. Theoretically, they could re-enter normal space inside Reach's sun.
Cortana, give me maximum magnification on the four cameras.
Aye, sir, she said. The view on the forward screen zoomed in, jumped and refocused on planet Reach. 20,000 kilometers from the planet, a cluster of 100 UNSC ships collected at Rally Point Zulu. Destroyers, frigates, 3 cruisers, 2 carriers, and 3 refit and repair stations hovering over them, waiting to be used as sacrificial shields. 52 additional UNSC warships inbound to Rally Point Zulu, Cortana reported.
Shift focus to section 4x4 on screen, Cortana. Show me those Covenant forces.
The screen blinked and transferred to the approaching Covenant fleet. There were so many ships, Captain Keyes couldn't estimate their numbers.
How many? He asked.
I count 314 Covenant ships, Captain, Cortana replied. Captain Keyes couldn't tear his gaze away from the ships. The UNSC only won battles with the Covenant when they outnumbered the enemy forces 3-1, not the other way around. They had one advantage, the Mach orbital guns around reach. The UNSC's most powerful non-nuclear weapon. Some called them Supermac guns, or the Big Stick. Their linear accelerator coils were larger than a UNSC cruiser. They propelled a 3,000-ton projectile at tremendous speed and could reload within 5 seconds. They drew power directly from the fusor reactor complex planetside.
Pull back the camera angle, Cortana. Let me see the entire battle area.
The Covenant ships accelerated toward reach. The fleet at Rally Point Zulu fired their Mach guns and missiles. The orbital Supermac guns opened fire as well. 20 streaks of white-hot metal burned across the night. The Covenant answered by launching a salvo of plasma torpedoes at the orbital guns. So much fire in space that it looked like a solar flare. Deadly arcs of flame and metal raced through space and crossed paths. The engines of the 3 refit stations flared to life, and the plate-like ships moved toward the path of the flaming vapor. A plasma bolt caught the edge of the leading station. Fire splashed over its surface. More bolts hit, and the station melted, sagged, and boiled. The metal glowed red, then white-hot, tinged with blue. The other 2 stations maneuvered into position and shielded the orbital guns from the fiery assault. Plasma torpedoes collided with them and sprayed plumes of molten metal into space. After a dozen hits, clouds of ionizing metal enveloped the place where the 3 stations had been. They had been vaporized. The last of the Covenant plasma hit the haze, scattered, absorbed, and made the cloud glow a hellish orange. Meanwhile, the fleet's opening salvo and the Supermac rounds hit the Covenant fleet, The smaller ship-based MAC rounds bounced off the Covenant shields. It took three or more to wear them down. The Super MAC rounds, however, were another story. The first Super MAC shell hit a Covenant destroyer. The ship's shield flashed and vanished. The remaining impact momentum transferred to the ship. The hull rippled and shattered into a million fragments. Four nuclear mines detonated in the center of the Covenant fleet. Dozens of ships with downed shields flared white and dissolved. The other ships, however, shrugged off the damage. Their shields burned brilliant silver, then cooled. The surviving Covenant vessels advanced in system. A third of their number were left behind, burning radioactive hulks or utterly destroyed by the Super MAC rounds. Plasma charges collected on the lateral lines of the Covenant ships. They fired. Fingers of deadly energy reached across space toward the UNSC fleet. One Covenant ship sat in the center of the pack, a gigantic vessel larger than three UNSC cruisers. White-blue beams flashed from its prow. A split second later, five UNSC vessels detonated.
"Cortana, what the hell was that?" Keyes asked. "Lovell, push those engine superchargers as hot as you can make them."
"Running at 310%, sir," Lovell reported. "ETA 14 minutes.
"Replaying and digitally enhancing video record," Cortana said. She split the screen and zoomed in on the huge Covenant ship, replaying the video as the large ship fired. The Covenant energy beams looked like pulse lasers, but tinged silver-white, the same scintillation effect that they'd seen when their shields were hit. Cortana switched back to view the doomed UNSC destroyer Minotaur. The lance of energy was needle-thin. It struck the vessel on A-deck, aft, near the reactor. Cortana pulled the view back and slowed the record frame by frame. The beam punctured through the entire ship, emanating below H-deck by the engines.
"It drilled through every deck and both sets of battle plate," Captain Keyes murmured.
The beam moved through the Minotaur, slicing a 10-meter-wide swath. "Projected beam path cut through the Minotaur's reactors," Cortana said.
"A new weapon," Captain Keyes said. "Faster than their plasma. Deadlier, too."
The large Covenant ship veered off course and accelerated away from the battle. Perhaps it didn't want to risk getting too close to their orbital MAC guns. Whatever the reason, Keyes was grateful to see it withdraw. The UNSC forces slowly scattered. Some launched missiles to intercept the plasma torpedoes, but the high-energy explosives did nothing to stop the superheated bolts. 50 UNSC ships went up like flares, burning, exploding, falling toward the planet. The orbital Supermac guns fired. 16 hits and 16 Covenant ships were blasted into flame and glittering fragments. The Covenant fleet split into two groups. Half accelerated to engage the dispersing UNSC fleet. The remainder of their ships arced upward relative to the plane of the system. That group maneuvered to get a clear shot around the cloud of vaporized titanium from the refit stations. They were going to target the orbital guns. Plasma charges collected along their sides. The orbital guns fired. The super-heavy rounds tore through the clouds of ionized metal vapor, leaving whirls and spirals in the haze. They impacted 18 incoming Covenant ships, ripped through them like tinfoil, with enough momentum to pulverize their hulls. 6 Covenant ships cleared the interfering cloud of vapor. They had a clear shot. The Super MAC guns fired again. Plasma erupted from the sides of the nearby Covenant ships. The Super MAC rounds hit the vessels and obliterated the enemy. The streams of plasma, however, had already launched. They streaked toward the orbital guns, impacted, and turned the installations into showers of sparks and molten metal. When the haze cleared, 15 of the Super MAC orbital installations remained intact. 5 had been vaporized. The Covenant ships engaging the fleet turned and fled on an outsystem vector. The remaining UNSC ships did not pursue.
"Incoming order, sir," Lieutenant Dominique called out. "We are being ordered to fall back and regroup."
Keyes nodded.
Cortana, he said, can you give me damage and casualty estimates for the fleet?
Her tiny hollow image coalesced in the display tank.
Yes, Captain, she said.
She cocked an eyebrow at him. Are you sure you want the bad news? Damage estimates scrolled across his personal screen. They had taken heavy losses. An estimated 20 ships remained. Nearly 100 shattered and burning UNSC vessels floated lifeless in the combat area. Captain Keyes realized that he was holding his breath. He exhaled.
That was too close, he murmured.
It could have been closer, Captain, Cortana whispered.
He watched the retreating Covenant. Once again, it was too easy. No, it had been anything but easy for the UNSC forces, but the Covenant were certainly giving up far earlier than in any previous battle. The aliens had never stopped once they engaged an enemy. Except at Sigma Octanus, he thought.
Cortana, Captain Key said, scan the poles of planet Reach and filter out the magnetic interference.
The view screen snapped to the Reach's northern pole. Hundreds of Covenant dropships streamed toward the planet's surface.
Get FleetCom HQ online, he ordered Lieutenant Dominique. Copy this message to the fleet commander as well.
Aye, sir,
Lieutenant Dominique said.
Channel connected.
Tell them they're being invaded. Dropships inbound at both poles.
Dominique sent the message, listened a moment, then reported,
Message received and acknowledged, sir.
The Supermag guns pivoted and fired, shattering dozens of the Covenant dropships in the shell's supersonic wake. The remains of the UNSC fleet split into two groups, moving toward either pole. Missiles and MAC guns fired and blasted the dropships to bits. The poles were punctuated with thousands of meteoroids as the bits of hull burned up in the atmosphere.
Hundreds must have gotten through, Keyes thought. Reach had been invaded.
Incoming distress signal from FleetCom HQ Planetside, sir,
Lieutenant Dominique said, his voice breaking.
On speakers, Captain Keyes said.
There are thousands of them! Grunts, jackals, and their warrior elites!
The transmission broke into static.
They have tanks and flyers! Christ, they've breached the perimeter! Fall back! Fall back! If anyone can hear this, the Covenant is groundside! Massing near the armory! They're...
White noise filled the speakers. Captain Keyes winced as he heard screams, bones snapping, an explosion. The transmission went dead.
Sir, Lieutenant Hall said, the Covenant fleet has altered their outbound trajectory. They're turning.
She rotated to face the captain.
They're coming in for another attack.
Captain Keyes stood straighter and smoothed his uniform.
Good.
He addressed the crew in the calmest voice he could muster.
Looks like we're not too late after all.
Ensign Lovell nodded.
Sir, ETA to Rally Point Zillow in 5 minutes.
Remove all missile safety locks, Captain Keyes ordered. Get our remote-piloted longsword into the launch tube, and make sure our MAC gun capacitors and boosters are hot.
Captain Keyes pulled out his pipe. He lit it and puffed. The Covenant were, of course, after the orbital guns. Their suicide frontal charge, while almost effective enough, had been just another diversion. The real danger was on the ground. If their troops took out the fusion generators, the Supermag guns would be so much floating junk in orbit.
This is bad, he muttered to himself.
Cortana appeared on the AI pedestal near the nav station.
Captain Keyes, I'm picking up another distress signal. It's from the Reach Space Dock AI. And if you think this,
she gestured at the incoming Covenant fleet on screen,
is bad, wait until you hear this. It gets worse.
Chapter 34 0558 hours, August 30, 2542, Military Calendar. UNSC Pillar of Autumn, Epsilon Eridani System. The mission had just encountered another snag. It never entered the Master Chief's mind that he would fail to achieve his objectives. He had to succeed. Failure meant death for not only himself, but for all the Spartans. Every human.
He stood at the view screen in the cargo bay and reread the priority Alpha transmission Captain Keyes had sent down.
Alpha Priority Channel, to Fleet Admiralty, from Reach Space Dock Quartermaster AI-8575, a.k.a. Doppler. Triple encryption time-stamped public key. Red Rover, Red Rover. Start file. Immediate action required. Item. Covenant data invasion packets detected penetrating firewall of Reach Dock Net. Counter-intrusion software enacted. Resolution, 99.9% certainty of neutralization. Item. Initialization of triple screening protocol discovered the Corvette Circumference, Bay Gamma 9, isolated from Reach Dock Net. Item. Covenant ships detected on inbound slipstream vector intersecting Bay Gamma 9. Conclusion. Unsecured navigation data on the circumference detected by Covenant forces. Conclusion. Violation of the Cole Protocol. Immediate action required. End file.
He replayed the distress call from Reach's groundside Fleetcom HQ.
They breached the perimeter! Fall back! Fall back! If anyone can hear this, the Covenant is groundside, massing near the armory. They're...
The Master Chief copied these files and sent them over his squad's comm channel. They had a right to know everything, too. There was only one reason the Covenant would launch a ground invasion, to take out the planetary defense generators. If they succeeded, Reach would fall. And there was only one reason why the Covenant wanted the ship's circumference, to plunder its nav database and find every human world, including Earth. Captain Keyes appeared on the viewscreen. He held his pipe in one hand, squeezing it so tight his knuckles were white.
Master Chief, I believe the Covenant will use a pinpoint slipspace jump to a position just off the space dock. They may try to get their troops on the station before the Supermac guns can take out their ships. This will be a difficult mission, Chief. I'm open to suggestions.
We can take care of it, the Master Chief replied. Captain Key's eyes widened, and he leaned forward in his command chair.
How exactly, Master Chief?
With all due respect, sir, Spartans are trained to handle difficult missions. I'll split my squad. Three will board the space dock and make sure that nav data does not fall into the Covenant's hands. The remainder of the Spartans will go groundside and repel the invasion forces.
Captain Keyes considered this.
No, Master Chief. It's too risky. We've got to make sure the Covenant doesn't get that nav data. We'll use a nuclear mine, set it close to the docking ring, and detonate it.
Sir, the EMP will burn out the superconductive coils of the orbital guns. And if you use the Pillar of Autumn's conventional weapons, the nav database may still survive. If the Covenant search the wreckage, they may obtain the data.
True, Keyes said, and tapped his pipe thoughtfully on his chin.
Very well, Master Chief. We'll go with your suggestion. I'll plot a course over the docking station. Ready your Spartans and prep two dropships. We'll launch you,
he consulted with Cortana,
in 5 minutes.
Aye, Captain. We'll be ready.
Good luck,
Captain Keyes said, and snapped off the viewscreen. Luck. The Master Chief had always been lucky. He'd need luck more than ever this time. He turned to face the Spartans. His Spartans. They stood at attention.
Kelly stepped forward. Master Chief, sir. Permission to lead the space op, sir.
Denied, he said. I'll be leading that one. He appreciated her gesture. The space operation would be 10 times more dangerous than the ground op. The Covenant would outnumber them 10 to 1, or more. But the Spartans were used to taking the fight against numerically superior enemies. They had always won on the ground. The extraction of the circumference database, however, would be in vacuum and zero gravity, and they might have to fight their way past a Covenant warship to reach the objective. Not exactly ideal conditions.
Linda and James, he said, you're with me. Fred, you're Red Team leader. You'll have tactical command of the ground operation.
Sir!
Fred shouted.
Yes, sir!
Now make ready, he said. We don't have much time left.
The Master Chief regretted his unfortunate choice of words. The Spartans stood a moment. Kelly called out,
Attention!
They snapped to and gave the Master Chief a crisp salute. He stood straighter and returned their salute. He was intensely proud of them all. The Spartans scattered and gathered their gear, racing for the dropship bay. The Master Chief watched them go. This was the mission the Spartans had been tempered for in mission after mission. It would be their finest moment. But he knew that it might also be their last moment. Chief Mendez had said that a leader would be required to spend the lives of those under his command. The Master Chief knew he would lose comrades today. But would their deaths serve a necessary purpose, or would they be wasted? Either way, they were ready. John tapped the thrusters and rotated the Pelican dropship 180 degrees. He pushed the engines to full power to break their forward momentum. The Pillar of Autumn had dropped them while she had been cruising at one-third full speed. They'd need every millimeter of the 10,000 kilometers between them and the docking station to slow down. The Master Chief had taken the Spartans' modified Pelican, rigged with explosives. The station would be locked down, every airlock sealed. They'd have to blast their way in. He glanced aft. Linda checked one of the three sniper rifle variants she had brought. James inspected his thruster pack. He had picked Linda because no other single Spartan was as efficient at long-range combat. And that's what the Master Chief wanted. Long